Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 108 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover this week's nerd news. We're going to begin, as we always do, an entertainment talk with the latest in movie postponements, and then we're going to move over into some gaming news with how the Xbox Series X might be affecting customers in odd ways, and then we'll jump over into tech news with the Tesla Battery Day announcements, some new VR being brought to the medical industry, some hacking news, and then a bunch in space talk. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
All right, and welcome back to episode 108. And This is the first instance here on the Nerd Cantina Show of Steve 4.0.
Yeah, it's out of beta and live. We're launch day went real well. We'll see if there's any bugs in the works and try to get those worked out. It was a good birthday weekend. I went to Las Vegas, had a really good time, despite the masks and lack of amenities that Vegas provides due to COVID. But yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, and if anybody didn't catch that, that's Steve turning 40.
Yeah.
4-0.
Yep. OG. So, 80s baby, born 1980 on the head.
Yeah, I don't remember what that makes you. You're not a millennial, right?
No, I'm a millennial. I'm generation pre-Xer, post-boomer that everyone talks about.
Well, nobody talks about it. That's the thing. You're the most insignificant generation. Everybody talks about before you, and everybody talks about millennials. Nobody cares about
your
generation.
You're like the middle child that nobody gives a shit about. It is absolutely horrible. You know, I'm like the only one in life that had a pager and a rotary phone and remembers a day before the internet. And it's like two generations, the tablet generation and the newspaper generation fighting with each other. It's like, I had an AOL email. Let me join this conversation.
Nope. You're supposed to just bridge the conversation, but you don't get any identity yourself.
No, they just want me to contribute to Social Security.
Well, let's get jumping into some news here, and we could start in the entertainment side, and some big announcements, expected announcements, but we finally get some dates around movie postponements from major studios. Namely, most of them are coming out of the Disney house, as we expected to hear all these pushbacks, and we got them finally.
This is just, to me, such a shitty situation for the movie theaters. They put up big fights to be able to open and let people in, and right as they got it, every movie just runs for the hills and they're left sitting there with like nothing. Like, man, it's so shitty what is happening to movie theaters right now. Like I feel bad for them.
Well, I mean, they didn't, it didn't just happen to be that they waited until, the movie theaters, and then they kind of stuck at the movie theaters. No, they waited for the test being Tenet. Tenet, as of today, is still only at $41 million domestic box office. They're close to, I think, $300 million or $280 million when you factor in worldwide. They did pretty well in China. But domestically here in the U.S., $41 million on a movie
Can you even go to the theater in California yet?
Yeah, in parts of California you can. I don't think LA, but most places in California now, you can in a limited, very limited capacity setting. But
one city, you're limiting what, 8 million people from seeing the movie.
But still, you've got to think, in our country of 380 million, you still have 350 million plus that have access to a theater, and they didn't go see the movie. Right, they just didn't. They didn't go see it socially distanced. They didn't wear their mask and eat the popcorn underneath the mask. They didn't do all of that. So, I guess I just don't blame these studios for doing the pushback. But yeah, it just puts the theaters in a complete no-win situation.
Yeah, I mean, right? I completely understand what's going on here. It doesn't mean I have to like it. It's just, it's a really shitty situation, especially for someone that will go to the theater and socially distance and wants to see a new movie. Like, it is, it's just real shitty.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. It's a bad position, but, you know, where we're at right now is, you know, Black Widow was supposed to come out back in May, and now they've pushed back, you know, multiple times, and now the latest is that they're looking at a May 7th of 21, so they're back almost a full 12 months on a movie that's been completely wrapped. I still am just impressed at the fact that there's not, you know, bootleg screeners of that movie flying all over the internet.
If they kept New Mutants under wraps that long, I'm assuming Hollywood's gotten a lot better at keeping them in the vault.
Yeah, but I think even the people who were part of New Mutants didn't want copies of it. Like, this is one where
I thought it was all right. It was all right.
Yeah, all right is you know, not the glowing endorsement, worth all the effort. But Black Widow, if somebody could get their hands on it, they would have.
Yeah, I'm just like, I've been to a few movies now, and I'm like the guinea pig that's here to tell y'all. It's like, it's not that bad. If you've gone and eaten a meal anywhere in public, it is actually probably better than that. I just went to Vegas. Like, you know, there's, out of all the like kind of questionable situations you can be in during a pandemic, the theater was probably one of the better ones that you could put situations you could put yourself in. So I think
it's as safe as anything else that you're going to do right now.
It's just as safe as going to the grocery store. It is going to Target, you know, like,
and I don't see a reason not to go. But again, the data shows people just aren't doing it. So, you know, on top of Black Widow getting pushed back to May, that pushes back Eternals from, February to November. Shang-Chi now pushes back from May to July, which is a funny move, right? Eternals now leapfrogs further back. They've completely changed the order in which these things come out, which normally they're so nested together. And it really seems that this phase, what are we on? Phase five, four, four?
Phase four.
Seems that it's less tied together. It's been said by, you know, Marvel Studios that Black Widow has absolutely nothing to do with any of the follow-on movies. You know, Eternals and Shang-Chi just kind of leapfrogging there. You know, we see that now WandaVision is coming out ahead of Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier. What I didn't see on this list was it was supposed to be next summer that we got Multiverse of Madness, right? Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness. I don't see that on here as a delay, but I can't imagine that still being on timeline.
Yeah, and they haven't started filming a lot of these, and you're not going to start filming them. You know, well, it all depends on what locations. Yeah, there's a lot of logistics, you know, that are going into making sure this shit gets done.
I'm really looking forward to, like, the next Oscars. there's going to be, like, it's going to be nothing but Netflix movies and for them to choose from. It's going to, they're going to have to, like, put an asterisk next to the best director, because in the end, it's got to be, like, Tenet has to win everything, I guess. Like, every, it's really going to be,
it's going to be some artsy movie that some dude shot with an iPhone 11.
I did it through Zoom. Did a completely virtual movie.
Yeah. That's what I'm waiting for, is people are still making movies, and like all next summer, it's going to be these shitty rom-coms about Zoom romance and dating and COVID and like, oh, geez, like it's going to be really bad. Like, it's like, who's Rebel Wilson pestering on a Zoom call this year? Oh God!
But I think the only other real, you know, big movies outside of Disney that were announced as far as delayed in this latest round was West Side Story, the Steven Spielberg remake. There got pushed back another year. You know, let those kids that he's allowed smoke on the set get a little older. the Kingsman is the sequel to the two Kingsman movies, or actually prequel, I think, to the Kingsman movies. But those are the only other two major ones coming out of like 20th out of the Disney slate, the 20th century slate, as they now own that. But yeah, in the end, predictable, but sad. Like the next year of movies is looking depressing. Like, even when COVID ends, there's still going to be this lull of, And I know I said if COVID ends, it's never going to end. but even as we just come to grips with the fact that we have to go back to a real world, there's still going to be like this lull in entertainment that we're all going to just suffer from bad delays and postponements.
Yeah, this, I cannot wait for this year to end.
Oh, there's still a lot left that 2020's got in store for us. So, buckle in for the last 3 months here.
Well, last week we had the PlayStation 5 pre-order debacles, and then we had the Xbox One Series X release, and we have another different debacle to talk about.
Yeah, the ordering and the availability for people to order was really no better than the PlayStation. It was still just stripped away, sold out.
And they talked all that shit on Twitter.
They sure did. And in the end, they were still sold out by every retailer within minutes and incredibly difficult to
get an Best Buy site was jacked. The GameStop site got jacked. Like everything, like I don't understand how they benefit from this kind of like, yeah, they all still sold out. They sold, and that's kind of the shitty thing. They sold the exact amount of Xboxes that they would have sold if it was a good launch. So to them, they really don't give a shit. But at the same time, ain't nobody happy right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the flaw in the system there, is that all the criticism about the pre-orders goes to the stores, and Xbox in the end just wins, same as Sony just won. They cleared their inventory of whatever they could promise in a pre-sale. So for them, it's all a win. For consumers, it's been a big loss. Yeah, to some, it seems like it's been a bigger loss than others over in the UK specifically, with an article about not only were some people in the UK, the pre-orders fell apart, were a complete mess, but it also was dinging people and looking as a negative report on credit scores over in the UK. So it all stems from this concept that in the UK, through these different gaming sites and directly through Xbox, through Microsoft, they're able to finance their Xbox purchases. So essentially, they got pre-approved or approved for these loans for Xboxes. And then their pre-orders were canceled because there just weren't enough. They didn't get selected. They didn't get it. And then it ended up looking like they got denied lines of credit, and it dinged their credit score as credit inquiries and denials. So that's a double whammy there. Not only do you not get the Xbox, but you get the ding on the score.
I don't know. I kind of feel bad, but at the same time, I don't. Like, if you're trying to finance a gaming system, like, I'm pretty sure your credit score wasn't pristine to begin with.
Now, yeah, I will say, you know, this is not a financial podcast here, but free financial advice coming your way. Don't do that. Like, just if that's the only way you're getting your pre-order, don't do it. Same as I would say here in the US, we can't finance it, which is probably a better deal for them to finance it than for whatever people just toss it on a credit card balance that they don't have the ability to pay back. That's a probably even worse decision. Don't do that either.
Cash money, folks.
Yeah, try to live that debt-free life, and the Xbox can wait. For me, I'll wait years.
Yeah, it was a hard lesson. It was a hard lesson for what I would assume would be the majority of like 18 to 24 year olds, like just needing that gaming system, had to pay their tuition for their fucking Zoom education, and just had to get that Xbox, and they just learned a hard lesson.
Yeah. They can't afford their Xbox sitting across from a professor who's making six figures who can't figure out how to unmute themselves on Zoom. But hey, 2020. In the end, hopefully here in the US, everybody got the Xboxes that they want. I know that's not true. But you know, another round of purchases will come out here soon. Stay tied to Best Buy and all, whatever companies are getting the next inventory. But we will move on. Yeah, something that we could have talked about with the Disney movies, but we got a Disney show being rumored, a new Samuel L. Jackson, Nick Fury show, a Disney Plus series that, you know, this is rumored. The only reason why we'll talk about this rumor is I guess it comes from a source that's not, we got this, we got, what is it?
Yeah, we've got this covered.
.com. Yeah, and Doomcock.
Trash.
Those two sites are trash. I love the fact, like, we got this covered, reported something today about how, like, you know, all this Pedro Pascal leaving The Mandalorian 2, and then they reported today that Pedro Pascal reportedly is not leaving the show. And I was thinking, like, what the fuck? You were the ones reporting it in the first place. Like, you started that rumor, and then instead of, like, retracting your statement, just 2 weeks later, you come out and you say, reportedly, he's still on. It's like, motherfucker, no, you can't break the stories on both sides.
It's a genius news cycle.
Yeah,
it's a genius
news cycle. It really is. It really is. We should just make shit up, and then 2 days later, Just write up a headline that says whoever reported that bullshit 2 days ago was completely inaccurate, and then just cite ourselves inside the article. that's the way to win in the internet. Yeah. So this one's coming from Variety and a couple other sources that are pretty reputable in the industry, and they're just saying that Nick Fury has been brought in with an executive producer that's tied to Marvel to come up with a one-off Disney Plus series.
Yeah, I got a feeling with Hollywood shutting down for as long as it has, some movie stars and people are going to do some projects that they may not have done in the past based on the fact that they have hefty mortgage payments and some of them might not be smart with their money.
So. Oh, I mean, this is the time, you know, if you're Amazon Prime, if you're Netflix, if whatever else, and you want to put together a series with top talent, this is the time to sneak them away from theaters. Because the billion-dollar movies, the $300 million openings and all that stuff, that's 2 years away. So these big stars are looking at, hey, I can still make $5 million.
I wouldn't mind having an Emmy on my shelf.
Like, all right, let's do this. Like,
it's been working out for Nicole Kidman and Reese Witherspoon pretty well. I think I could do this.
Yeah, and we all know, you know, Nick Fury was written for Samuel Jackson. Nobody else could do that. Like, Nick Fury is Samuel Jackson. Yep, go for it. Put together a good show for us here.
Samuel Jackson might went on a really bad golf gambling stint, and he's like, hey, fire up that Nick Fury engine. Go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah. Just hope we don't get more like 1990s Nick Fury like we did in Captain Marvel.
Just don't give me Captain Marvel Nick Fury. Fucking sissy ass.
Don't give me soft ass Nick Fury.
Oh, God.
All right. And then I guess the last in our entertainment talk is Tom Cruise. He's been doing for decades his own stunts, really, really been stepping it up, always impressive with his stunt work. And he's just said, everybody hold my beer. I've still got some more tricks up the sleeve as he is going to film at the International Space Station, riding in a Crew Dragon from SpaceX, which will take him to the space station in 2021. It'll be just him and his director. And yeah, they're filming a movie at the ISS.
Man, you know he's just going up there to soak up all them Zetons that he can.
Oh, I didn't even go with the Scientology rock in my head.
He's trying to get him hands on them fresh Zetons so he can manifest his destiny, son. Oh,
and
as much as I love the movie, Tom Cruise just goes
floating out into space.
Oh, as much as I love to rip on it, dude, I do have to give it to him. Like, he gives no fucks. He sells out for his craft. Like, strapped to planes, learns how to fly helicopters. Like, I'm really excited to see Top Gun if Rona ever lets it get out into the public. But that Top Gun movie, he's in that jet, like you see that him the wrinkles push back, you know, at 4 G's.
he's actually getting after it in that. And I guess I'm not overly impressed with the fact that, like, he's doing this, because, you know, this isn't like, oh my goodness, he's sacrificing his body. It's like, no, dude is just doing space tourism, man, on the dime of a production
tax
company.
Write-off.
Like,
it's this goddamn is, tax write-off.
No, whoever's putting together this movie's paying for it. So this is space. This is free space tourism, and then he's going to be branded as some, like, cinematic hero who went out in space and did this.
First actor in space. First actor to sacrifice his life in the vastness of outer space for his role.
Like, so I
Daniel
think,
Day-Lewis, suck a dick.
Yeah. I think it's definitely going to be whatever the movie is. I hope it's good, and I hope it ends up being something that's worth seeing.
What if it's like a Katherine Heigl romantic comedy, and he's like, I don't know how much longer I got.
This is that Zoom movie you were talking about. It's just him from the ISS talking to Rebel Wilson back at home. that's the whole movie. God.
Throw Melissa McCarthy in as a best friend, and I'll go see it tomorrow. Oh God! But the dude gives no fucks, you know.
What the announcement said, where they announced that they were going to do this, that they were filming it at the ISS, and it talked about how, you know, the Crew Dragon, SpaceX is doing it. The Crew Dragon's flying them. It's going to be the director, Tom Cruise, and it said it's still got one open seat yet to be determined. And I'm just wondering, who the fuck is going with Tom Cruise and this director? Like, who's getting the
someone
nod for
with
that
a camera,
one?
Hopefully.
Somebody with money. Like, that's who's going. Yeah, whatever. The director's got his iPhone. He's bringing it.
Can you imagine the pitch meeting with Tom Cruise, the director, and Elon Musk in the same room together? Like, that pitch meeting? Like, that would have been just glorious nonsense getting spewed like back and forth. The egos in that room. Oh, it would have been glorious.
There's a YouTube channel that does a bunch of pitch meetings for movies, and I'm hoping they go that route when eventually they do it. And I'll watch it. I'll watch that YouTube short. They're funny guys. But yeah, in the end, it's going to be interesting. You know, NASA's excited about it because, as they say, that they're excited that popular media and popular movies are joining into space to inspire a new generation of engineers and scientists to make space cool again, to make it desirable again. And I think, you know, it probably will inspire some people.
The real question is how many inches they put on the bottom of his space boots to give us... How many inches they spotting him on the space boots?
Well, he read that on average the astronauts come back almost like 2 inches taller from decompression of the spine. It's the whole reason why he signed up for this thing, just so he can come back and for 3 days be 5'6" instead of 5'4".
And full of fucking Zetons. Oh man.
All right. Are we that's done picking good. On
yeah,
Tom Cruise?
Yeah, I think
Cruise
we're done picking on Tom Cruise.
Okay. Well, that's the end of our entertainment talk here. We can go into tech and go, you know, Elon Musk adjacent here from SpaceX and Crew Dragon to the big announcements with Tesla Battery Day, which really weren't big announcements. It was fairly underwhelming in the sense of there wasn't too much coming out of it. You know, it was hyped up as, you know, for weeks about they're going to have this battery day, and we expected it to, I don't know, revolutionize batteries. It didn't. It did provide some information as far as the fact that, like, they're going to make these tabless battery cells, which are greater improved, these 4680 cells, they're calling them, which they later this week or earlier this week announced that they've actually already been fielding these battery cells in some cars. So they're already on the road. They're already being safety tested. They just didn't announce to anybody else. It was just kind of something they were testing on their own. So it's increasing the range of the various Teslas. It's also being produced in-house instead of purchasing the batteries from Panasonic. If you own Panasonic stock, I'm sorry that this announcement happened. I'm sure that didn't help. I'm sure that didn't help that, you know, now Tesla is making their own batteries in-house. That's the ultimate goal. They're still going to be buying Panasonic batteries for a period of time, but over time, they're looking to phase out of that. So that's one of the big announcements, is just a better battery. Hopefully going cobalt free is what they're looking to do. Tesla's been trying to do that for a couple of years, go cobalt free in their batteries, just because cobalt is mined in ways that are violating human rights. So they've been trying to go cobalt free. They're mostly cobalt free, but he's trying to go those last few steps to take cobalt out of any battery production. But I think some of the more interesting ones is the new Model S was announced, the faster, now faster than the Ludicrous model. They have the Model S Plaid, which, you know, if you're listening to the Nerd Cantina and you don't understand
you
the
don't
references
understand
here,
why it's funny,
just go ahead and
go back,
you know,
to your true crime podcast. You're not needed here. It's quite all right. Ken's got some really good financial advice podcast that you can listen to.
I'll welcome you to stay here. But first, you have to hit pause and at least go watch fucking Spaceballs once in your life, or at least once in the last decade, and then come back as you'll have a better understanding on where the Model S Plaid, the Model S Ludicrous. I love these naming conventions that he's going with here.
Either they have the best marketing team, or they just literally let that dude do whatever he wants.
I think that's all it is. I think that's all it is. They just let Elon do whatever he wants. I don't think there is any team involved with the naming, with the press releases, with all that stuff. I think it is just him.
The thing that they announced I'm really kind of excited for is that the goal of getting to a $25,000 Tesla model is quite huge. Like, if you can make a $25,000 Tesla, that opens the door to tens of millions of new customers and takes us way further away from fossil fuels that we could get in a while. Like,
no, yeah, I mean, that's a huge price point. I mean, it's still out of my price point, but it's still in an accessible price range. So getting down to that $25,000 goal, and I think generally what you can assume is that when Elon says that, hey, his goal is he's going to be selling electric vehicles for less than $25,000. Expect that you can buy a Tesla here in the near future for less than $25,000.
Even if it costs him $27,000 to make it, he
doesn't give a shit. Like, he's not. He is going to figure this out. He will offer a Tesla for less than $25,000. He said that he's looking at it being possible in the next 3 years. A lot of this is tied. The reason why it came out during Battery Day, because a lot of this is tied to reducing his overall cost, reducing his logistics chain by self-making the batteries, making them here in the United States, building a battery plant, and building the cathodes needed for the batteries in the United States. So all of that is a big portion of what he's doing. It's a lot, very much tied to these batteries. And if it all goes according to plan, within 3 years, he's going to be manufacturing these things at a level that he can do everything in-house and then bring the price down to $25,000 for a baseline Tesla. So good news all around. Always show a good deal of respect towards what Elon does, especially here with Tesla. Another announcement that came out this week was that he just made mention that he expects full autopilot capable in a month or so. I don't know why. I still see YouTube videos of people doing this shit all the time. Yeah, I guess I just don't understand what the difference is between what's currently out and what's not.
I got into an argument with somebody when I was in Vegas because they were telling me fully automated driving 2050. I was like, 2050?
Oh, God, 2050? I promise you, if I'm still driving a car in 2050, then
that's what I told him.
He's arguing
with me, and I'm just going like, bro, I have a nerd podcast. I talk about this shit at least once a month. I was like, I've read dozens of articles regarding this subject.
The only way it's not happening by 2050 is the rest of the world's doing it, and we've just legislated the hell out of roadways that it's just illegal to do automated driving. The capability will be there in the very near future.
Yeah, the cab driver lobby pulls hundreds of millions out of their back pocket to fund the legislation to put the cobalt on that.
The whole time I was arguing
with him, I was just like, I'm telling you, man. I'm like, I promise you, I would not lie to you about this. Like, I was like,
I got no skin in the game here.
I talk about this shit all the time. I promise you, within 10 years, it was like 10 years, I was like 2030, maybe 2035. He was like, no, man, we're talking like 2050. Like, I was like, bro, like, you really think I'm going to be 80 and still driving a car?
Yeah. No chance. But yeah, by 2050, it should be so mundane that if I see somebody behind the wheel of like a classic car on the fucking roadway, I'm going to lose my shit. Like, I'm going to be yelling out the window about that person being a murderer.
You think you're better than a computer? Who do you think you are?
But All right. Let's jump into a little bit of medical talk here. So there's a company, OSSOVR, and they recently raised $14 million. And the $14 million they raised is to bring virtual reality to surgical and medical device training. And it's so far been proven pretty well effective. And like, you know, these are the kind of companies that, you know, when COVID happened, they were all on board, right? Like, oh, you're going to close the universities? Well, I've got a solution for you. Like, you're going to, you know, this is definitely somebody taking advantage of kind of these distance tools, whatever else. But in my opinion, you know, this should have been something that we were investing a great deal of money in and moving towards pre-COVID.
I want to say it was on Grey's Anatomy last season or the season before. Like, this is something definitely being thought about. It makes total sense, especially if you can get the VR to the precision point of surgery. Because if it's not like completely accurate, it might be doing you a disservice. You know, I mean, we're talking down to the millimeters of cuts when you're talking surgery. So if it can't be accurate to that kind of precision, then are we really making better surgeons? You know, like,
yeah, I mean, if you're to believe a press release from the company, they say that they've showed that they can prove a 230% improvement in overall surgical performance. You know, I'm sure that's a little bit of cherry picked information, but even like when you look at like medical students and stuff like that, like even if it's not just surgery, but just general medicine and stuff like that, it's like, all right, do you really need to do an autopsy on cadavers that are in generally shitty condition? They're hard to come by. It's hard to actually get like good medical science instead of just doing like actual VR medical diagnosis, all that stuff.
Let's put it like this. I don't want to be that first meat puppet when you get out of school. If you're doing VR surgical training, I don't want to be that first meat puppet that you finally get to cut into for the first time and feel what it's like and actually see and smell blood. So, and you could have some fat dude just puking on the floor because he didn't realize like the kind of smells and textures that were going to come with real life because of VR.
Well, here's the next step too, though. 10 years from now, if there's ever a dude standing over with me with a scalpel, I'm going to wonder where the fuck we went wrong. Yeah. Like,
Where's the robot arm pulling out my gallbladder?
Exactly. Like, where's that robot arm? You know, we've got these robot arms implanting neural links, putting in 1,000 hair-sized follicles directly on the exact neuron it needs to hit without touching a single capillary, without a single bit of blood coming out of your brain. Like, why is that thing not doing my appendectomy?
I mean, for real, it is the future. We should take the shame out of prostate exams. We should at least get to that part. Just give me a robot arm with 2 fingers. Just in a lube.
What do you need the second one for? I don't even understand. I mean,
that's what they always do on the TV shows. They slap the gloves and he's always got 2 fingers.
Oh, my God. All right.
I'm 40. I'm fearing that. I have not gotten mine yet. I have a shirt that says, don't fear the finger. I fear the finger.
I mean, in the end, no, I, you know, part of like when we talked about 5G and we broke down kind of the benefits and really what 5G is a long time ago on this podcast. And, you know, one of the main benefits of it was this concept that through 5G internet, the latency is so low that a surgeon could be anywhere in the country essentially and control the robotic arms that are conducting most incredibly precise surgeries today. It's a human operator of a robotic precision arm. And 5G was going to be able to bring that to where that surgeon can be anywhere in the country. Like, so this VR stuff, like, yeah, train people on these devices. Because here in the future, like, yeah, do I want a surgeon to be a part of that, to be in that process? Yes. But do I want them holding the scalpel? Do I want the steadiness of somebody's hand doing it? No. I want the steadiness of a robotic arm that can apply the exact precise, you know, the pressure needed to break through the flesh and nothing else or whatever the is happening.
I foresee
that's what I want.
Malpractice and crazy like lawsuits coming from something like that. Because like, yeah, say they mess up. Like, does every surgeon now have plausible deniability? Be like, oh, I didn't do that. That was a malfunction in the elbow joint of the robotic arm that was doing it. I told that robot to cut 1, you know, millimeter less, and it went too far. It's not my fault. It's a flaw in the program.
I don't know. You I'm certain that these companies that are building these robots are also worried about liability.
These, like we said, and these are the questions. And these are the questions that are going to slow the yeah. process of this stuff. Is the legal logistics?
I mean, it's pretty well. There are surgical arms and surgical, you know, robotic arms that are conducting this under the control of doctors all over the country right now. Top surgeons are using these things. So in the end, do I care if they train with VR so they can learn how to better use those tools as I think surgery should move to those tools? Absolutely not. I think that's great. Do I care if my doctor somewhere down the road is living in his countryside mansion with nothing but Starlink internet and low latency 5G internet and he's controlling it from his bedroom? I also don't care. What I want is a qualified surgeon who's been adequately trained to control the instrumentation and conduct it. And I think that's the future. That's the future that I want.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll find out with our old asses. We'll find out real fast. We'll be the first guinea pigs. Just give me some new robotic knees. That's all I want. I'm 6'3", 230 pounds. I played football a long time. I'm gonna need some new kneecaps in this motherfucker.
Yes. I've already got arthritis, so yes. All right, let's jump over to a little medical, more hospital talk. Yeah, and really this one was just a huge hospital system gets hit for essentially ransomware or what appears to be ransomware. I haven't seen any kind of what comes out of it as far as confirmed, you know, whether they paid any ransomware or they had an actual demand. But in the end, a major hospital chain, the Universal Health Services across the country had computer system issues and they were not prepared to do this. So we see significant issues in being able to conduct any type of medicine. They had zero access to patient records, medical records. You know, you have doctors out there filling out files and paperwork that I'm sure never goes anywhere important. Like that'll never make it into somebody's medical record or do what they needed to do, as well as, you know, prescriptions that needed to be filled. And like the pharmacist and the medication system, they didn't know how to handle it. Like they didn't know how to process medication when, you know, their entire system is based off of prescription comes in, you scan thing, dispenses medicine for you, you fill it, and all you do is verify that it, you know, they yeah, were not the in medical any way prepared equivalent to do of this.
Losing your phone and then getting arrested and having to call somebody. It's like you get one free phone call and all you can remember is your fucking grandma's phone number from when you were in fucking grade school. You don't like. I'd give you $20 if you could ramble off 10 phone numbers and actually call them and have the person answer the phone correctly right now. None of you can do it.
I mean, yeah, it's entirely true. so, I mean, that's where this hospital system fell. And in the end, you know, the attack it disrupted like 80 different medical facilities.
Well, then their major concern was that someone did this ransomware just recently, previously on another hospital, and a patient died because of it, because of the medical problem they had.
Yeah,
to
that was in Korea.
Transfer a patient, and from transferring the patient, she ended up dying of medical complications. So, you know, they're basically attributing that to the first ransomware death of the medical. And I don't blame them. I would, you know, if it wasn't for the attack, she could have stayed at that hospital, could have had fine care, could have survived. You don't know either way. But the fact that this did happen and they did have to transfer her, put her life in jeopardy, and she's not around anymore. So this is becoming a major issue now that people are concerned about.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's a completely new low. Like, all right, I got it. You give ransomware to Garmin and you hope to make a couple million. All right. You're still a piece of shit, but all right. Like, you freeze up medical care to thousands of patients and lock people out of their medical records and prescription, everything else. Like, well, that's a pretty new low for me. Like, that is a human being that probably needs to go away. that's a different situation. I can't imagine how somebody kind of gets to a moral, mental justification of doing that. As you know, this becomes a bigger and bigger issue as we move more and more into digital medical system, medical records. That's how we should do medicine, right? Our medical records should be universally in a universal medical record system. So that way, if I go to the hospital tomorrow, anywhere, they can just type in my ID number and they have access and they know exactly what I'm allergic to, what considerations, what surgeries I've had in the past. That's how medicine's supposed to be. There should not be paper records around, but the more and more you do this, the more and more then our healthcare system is completely vulnerable to this in the future. So we're screwed. Next. All right. I guess we can just shift over to some space talk here. we've got the first story is, you know, that the moon was declared, I guess, safe for long-term human exposure or exploration. You know, NASA comes out and confirms that the radiation levels and everything that's being tested on the moon, it could be okay. It's okay for people to have long-term land-based crews that remain on the moon's surface for a period of time. So hooray, especially for those Artemis program NASA astronauts that were already planning on doing this in the next 3 years.
y'all just tested this now? Like I'm already packed. y'all just testing this? It's like, well, we assumed.
we made assumptions. in the end, like the radiation that's being tested on the surface of the moon is still 200 times greater than the radiation exposed to here on Earth. So you might not come away from it unscathed. I don't know. I don't know what that effect's going to have on people over long periods of time. You know, how long is that being in that level going to negatively affect people? No idea. You know, they're going to test out greater shielding, radiation shielding. I'm sure that whatever stations they operate in and reside in that they spend the vast majority of their time are going to provide some kind of shielding and reduce that from 200 times to something hopefully nominally different from Earth's radiation.
Sounds like the start of the Fantastic Four movie to me.
We can only hope. I mean, it's about time we get some metas or soups or whatever we're going to call them whenever it happens in real life.
Yeah, start voting on the name now.
but yeah, this does come on the heels of NASA confirming that they are still moving forward with what is a $28 billion plan to return astronauts to the moon in 2024. So that Artemis program is still going strong, being funded by the government for $28 billion to continue making a fairly aggressive timeline in the, you know, scope of NASA. I'm sure Elon saying that 2024, you know, what are you waiting 4 years for? I can get you to the moon tomorrow if you want.
I got nothing to do tomorrow. What do you want to go? And it's like, nah, Elon, just wait.
Yeah, it just pump your brakes.
Push a bunch of paper. This is a government thing.
As he's still, you know, just land hopping the gigantic Starship around, testing that thing. But as soon as that's ready to go, he's sending it to the moon.
I got a seat open next to Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's Tom's next mission. But yeah, so, you know, in the end, they're still moving forward with this Artemis program, still looking at kind of challenging, you know, they are using private companies to get to the moon. So they are still looking at Amazon's or Bezos's
Blue Origin. I just wonder what this $28 billion is compared to the original, like, moon landing budget with inflation. Like, are we at least doing it for cheaper now? Like, have we gotten more efficient in our spending on what it takes to get to the moon? Because $28 billion sounds like a lot, but I don't think that's much at all. They first spent to get to the moon the first time.
Yeah, I actually thought that was an underwhelming amount of money. I thought they're going on the discount budget here for the manned missions here to the moon. But yeah, it's interesting that they're going to keep moving forward with this. You know, curious on who's going to end up taking them to the moon. Whether it's going to be SpaceX. You know, I think leading money, good money probably says SpaceX.
Smart money says SpaceX.
Blue Origin's still out there. You've got a couple other companies out there that are also working on different aspects of this program. So, you know, let's see how this shapes out. But, you know, by this time in 2024, maybe we got some people spending some nights and sleeping on the moon.
Definitely going to happen soon.
And then I guess really in our final talk here, we can talk about something that's going to go completely over my head, but it's just cool, potentially cool, as an Australian student, physics student.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, has proven that there is a mathematical way to prove that paradox-free time travel is possible. And by paradox-free time travel, that means like that whole grandfather effect, you know, the Marty McFly, you go back in time, you know, you
bang
kill
your
grandfather, and then bang your mom, and then you no longer exist because your mom then never has you. And he says that there's a mathematical way to prove that that paradox that's not a thing. If you go back in time and you change things in time,
happens. It's a peer-reviewed white paper, so it's people have checked it out, and nobody can refute it yet. So they're talking like it's proven, but what they don't mention is that paradox-free time travel is possible while exerting free will, and we know free will is an illusion. Therefore, time travel paradoxes are possible. Like you can't. Because that's the thing they said. They're like, well, if you go back and you tried to kill the first patient with COVID to stop COVID, then you would end up possibly becoming the first, you know, COVID case, and everything would just still happen exactly the same, just in a different way. I think it's the 12 monkeys theory, maybe. I think somebody's done this one. I'm calling bullshit. I'm kind of like, dude ain't found shit out. Someone's going to refute it. Some Weinstein is going to tell him to go eat a dick at some point.
I think it's just, obviously you're a brilliant student. I mean, let's do something else. I guess I don't really care whether it's mathematically possible or not. I'm still going to be dissatisfied with Endgame. None of this matters to me. Whether you can prove that it's mathematically somewhat possible to go and completely screw up a timeline, but everything still works out okay. I don't know. Don't ruin comics for me, and don't ruin movies for me. Like, let's just allow movies and comics to make up their own rules. Just be consistent within your own rules, and let's have a good time.
Or just like have it make sense a little. Like make it make my head hurt to refute it. That's all I ask. Someone smarter than me can refute it, but as long as it hurts my brain to think about, I'll be happy.
Well, this one makes my head hurt. Just reading the basics of what this student has written about. So, like I said, over my head, especially if you're going to go into the actual math of it at all. And in the end, I just don't care. I don't care about time travel. I don't care about the real time travel or what's actually possible. I just want to see it in movies and enjoy that. All right. Well, that wraps up Week in News here. That wraps up episode 108 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And thanks for the listen. As always, join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community or find us over on Facebook. I think we're
700.
I would say I think we're nearing a milestone. So get somebody over there. Fill that out. Let's keep growing that community. Let's keep building that out. And yeah, if you want to throw a happy birthday over to the Steve 4.0, that's best done over at patreon.com.
Or you can go to the merchandise tab and grab yourself a nice hoodie for cuffing season. You can try to defend it from new incoming girlfriends and represent the cantina.
But however you wish to support, we appreciate it. Every bit from any loyal listeners is always a big help. So thanks again. And we will talk to you again next week, nerds.
See you, nerds.